continues his run. The back heel for Sergio Roberto. One-time cross for Luis Suarez. Oh. Luis Suarez with the opener.
Bonaventura again. Baca with a run ahead of him. Suso to his right. Here is Suso, who sends San Siro wild.
Lewandowski goes through the goal. He just can't do it. You just cannot be that good. That is an amazing goal.
Around him has to try and block it out. Up against Anthony Lopez. He scores confidently.
This is semis, and we're going to review those and preview the finals. So why don't we start with defending champions, Real Madrid. They rather seem to have kind of locked it up after the first leg with that Ronaldo hat-trick, but Atletico started the game pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, it was more traditional Atletico side. Obviously, it was the last match for the Champions League ever to be held in the Vicente Calderon, which you could tell was quite an emotional moment for, especially Simeone. You can see on the sideline. I mean, he's not used to someone we associate with portraying emotion, but they were really good in the opening of the match. I mean, Sal got the opening goal for them, and then they got that Griezmann penalty, which Navas really should have saved.
Yeah, he got to that, but.
It just wasn't. He didn't properly like keep it out. He got a hand to it and it went in. But yeah, I mean, that was really promising for them. It looked like they were going to get it. And then as the weather turned, so did the match. And Madrid then came back and they did what they do best, which is see through a big game.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, you know, the first 20 minutes of that game, Atletico almost looked as if they were in with a chance. 70 minutes left in that game, and you think that surely one more goal really changes it. And unfortunately, it didn't go their way. Isco, just before half-time, scoring a vital, vital goal in terms of the overall tie, you know, getting an away goal. Atletico weren't able to get an away goal at Real Madrid, so that was very, very crucial for them. And then, you know, Atletico going into that knew then that they needed to score three more goals to make it through to the final. And I think that from then on, it was just really a matter of just Real Madrid controlling the game. They knew that Atletico was going to have to pull something phenomenal out of the bag for them to even progress. And I think, yeah, you know, it was very controlled. Talking about the Griezmann penalty, there was a couple of bits of information coming out after the game talking about whether or not that penalty should have been retaken, because it seems as if he did slip and he got maybe two touches on the ball before it went into the back of the net. So there's a bit of controversy around that, but you know, nonetheless, it was a fine performance from both sides. I mean, Atletico will be very disappointed not to have made it through into the final, but then again, it was, like I say, it was a very calm and controlled performance from Real Madrid, and yeah, I mean, they thoroughly deserve to be in the final, obviously defending champions going into the final, and yeah, it should be an interesting one to watch.
Yeah, no, I mean, we say Navas probably should have saved that penalty, but 66 minutes in, he perhaps redeemed himself where Carrasco was running through, created a good chance for himself. Never saved that, and I can't remember who the rebound shot was from, but now I saved two as well.
I think it was from Torres, if I'm I think he got a foot to it, and yeah, now has a very good rebound shot. I mean, that's the thing, you know, that penalty miss we can criticise him, but he's been very solid for Real Madrid all season, really, and especially in the Champions League this year. So I think everyone's allowed an off day, really, and like Jack said, there was some controversy surrounding Griezmann taking the penalty as well, but in the end it didn't really matter. Madrid were just too strong, really, for them. They showed why they are the defending champions and why they're one of the top teams in Europe, especially with the strength and depth. I mean, Isco and Modric, for me, really stood out in that game. The pair of them were just running the show, really. And, you know, Isco's kind of been, in my opinion, the forgotten man that's just suddenly come to the forefront since Gareth Bale's got injured. He's really taken on the responsibility and has been playing really well for Madrid.
No, yeah, I mean, another forgotten man, perhaps, Benzema. I mean, we haven't spoken too much about him this year after that whole scandal the past season. But a lovely bit of skill.
Absolutely lovely,
night,
yeah.
Bring that back. Real Madrid, defending champions, trying to be the first side to win it 2 years in a row. They've also got a game in hand on Barcelona in the league. They're joint on points, but Barcelona have a, I think, 17 goal difference advantage, so still in their hands for that as well.
Yeah, I mean, they could win, they could do the double, which they've been wanting to do for ages. I think from Real Madrid's perspective, they always want to win the Champions League, so that's going to be the one they're going to want most. But I think on the domestic front, they really need to win La Liga, because it's been so long since they have actually won it. You know, it's under Jose Mourinho when he was back there, and since then it's been Atletico Madrid and an era of Barcelona dominance in the league. And whilst after a while Barcelona winning the league, you know, that consecutively, they've now sort of looked like, okay, well, we need to push on from this. Madrid sort of really now need to win it back to reassert their dominance and their position as one of the top teams in the league, and they are in a strong place to do it. I personally think that they are more likely to win that than the Champions League. I mean, that's something which we can talk about later on, I'm sure, but I think that they should be able to clench La Liga, definitely.
Well, turning to the other semi-final, Juventus, Monaco, it was very much billed as attack against defence, as I'm sure this final probably will be billed as, although I think maybe it's a bit unfair for Juve. Fairly comfortable for them.
I mean, you know, in the first leg, getting two away goals against Monaco, you know, Monaco, a side going deep into the tournament for the first time in a good few years now. And I mean, yes, they've got the likes of Mbappe, who did score in the second leg and get one goal back for them, but, you know, Juventus again scoring two at home, they looked very much solid over both legs. And yeah, I definitely think that Juventus, as that solid unit at the back, you know, we talk about it all of the time, Chiellini, Bonucci, and now on occasion Barzagli when he gets subbed on, just that having that three at the back is very crucial for any manager that's managed them. You know, we've seen Antonio Conte come from Juventus, implement that system at Chelsea, and it's working very, very well with their defenders, and we've seen him do it before with those three Italian defenders. You know, they are, I don't know how much longer the likes of Chiellini has left in him, but, you know, you can guarantee that with the likes of Buffon in goal and those three at the back, then you have to bet on Juventus having a chance of beating any team across Europe at the moment.
That and that goal, incidentally, was the first goal they'd conceded in 689 minutes of Champions League football this season. Which, does that open the floodgates, or does it really not matter because they were already kind of home and dry?
Well, I mean, saying that, they have had, interestingly, by Juve standards, they have been on a bit of an iffy moment just sort of before then, because they drew in the Turin derby against Torino 1-1, and that has been the first time in ages that they've conceded at home as well. So that's two goals that Juventus have conceded in two games. Now, by most football team standards, we sort of go, oh, that's standard. But for Juve, that's sort of, oh, what on earth has happened? You know, chaos at the back. Mbappe, though, throughout the whole game was by far Monaco's brightest spark. He created, I think he had a chance that nearly went in at the start of the match, which was really good. But I can't see it being the opening of the floodgates, but the funny thing is, which I saw on the papers saying, was it's going to be a clash between two BBCs, assuming Bale is back. Yeah. Barzagli, Bonucci and Chiellini versus Cristiano, Benzema and potentially Bale if he's back from his interminable injury.
Yeah, no, it will be an interesting matchup to be sure. Juve pretty much on the ball to win their sixth successive league title. And they're also entering their, I think it's their sixth Champions League final, which is the joint most of any team, at least in this iteration of it. I think with Milan was the other team that had done that. Looking at Monaco, a bit disappointing, but they can be pretty proud of what they've done so far this season. They're still, if they win this weekend, they win the league for Liga ahead of PSG. Nice have fallen out of it a bit, but a good year for them.
Yeah, fantastic year, and I think, you know, we were talking about it before. I don't know how many of those players are still going to be Monaco players next season. I think that there's going to be a lot of European powerhouses coming in, bidding. Perhaps not for Mbappe. I'd suggest that Mbappe stayed there for maybe another, at least one more season. You know, Thierry Henry's come out supporting him, saying that, you know, we don't want him to rush into anything too early, because we've seen so many youngsters around Europe get rushed into these big clubs on big money deals and they seemingly flop. We've seen it with Martin Odegaard. He's not really made the impact that he was meant to be making at Real Madrid. Obviously dropped down the ranks there and he's gone out on loan subsequently. And yeah, I think Monaco definitely, in terms of Ligue 1 as well, you know, it really stirs things up. You mentioned Nice as well. Nice sort of tailing off at the end of the season, but they've got Balotelli who is firing in goals for them as well. But it certainly mixes Ligue 1 up. I think PSG have had it their way for far too long now, and you know, getting this second team now contesting for the title will always bring more players through. More players will be wanting to go to AS Monaco. Obviously, before as well, we're talking about Tielemans has had a deal seemingly has been agreed from RSC Anderlecht for €23 million to go to AS Monaco for next season, which I think is a fantastic purchase as well in terms of the youth. You know, he's the RSC Anderlecht captain. He's been a captain since he was, I think he's just turned 17, and then they gave him the captain's armband. So he's been there for throughout his entire career as well, and he's made, I think, over 100 club appearances for them so far. So I think he's going to be a good addition. But yeah, you know, the likes of Bakayoko, probably going to be snapped up by other European teams who have been keeping an eye on Monaco's progress so far this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this actually this summer is going to be very, very interesting for pretty much those top three clubs of Liga. I think Nice are going to want to build on their success. They're going to want to retain their players this time as opposed to selling them like they did with Ben Arfa, who then flopped subsequently at PSG. I think it's safe to say this first year for him has been pretty poor by the standard that he was putting in last year, where he was one of the most creative players in all of Europe. I think they're going to want to I think Nice are going to want to then reinforce. Monaco, I think it's going to be interesting. Basically, it's going to be about retainment, like you said, Jack. I think Bakayoko, from what I've heard, there's been a lot of talk that he's going to potentially go into Chelsea as a replacement for Nemanja Matic, who apparently might be moved on this summer because he's going a bit in his legs, he's aging, and he's not exactly the ideal partner anymore, maybe for Kante. I'm speculative about that, but that's, I'm sure, for another time. But I think the big one, in my opinion, aside from sort of some of their star players, really is Leonardo Jardin. Are they going to be able to keep him? I've seen some talk coming out in the last couple of days, maybe about is he going to go to Arsenal potentially, that they're looking around him. You know, it'd be almost natural, wouldn't it? The former Monaco boss that is Arsene Wenger being replaced by the current Monaco boss, Leonardo Jardin. He's done very well for them this year, so that'll be interesting. I don't know about if that's going to happen. That's sort of something I suspect, again, for a debate another time. But PSG, I think, is going to be the big one this summer. I can't see Unai Emery staying if they don't win the league. That's, by PSG standards, an absolutely abysmal season. They have by far the strongest team, I would say, in terms of calibre and how much they can bring in for their players, and they've been pretty appalling in the league this year. I mean, they've dropped points which they should have been winning. Oh, I mean, Cavani has been very good for them. He's been, you know, fantastic in terms of getting goals, but around him, the team hasn't been performing. Di Maria's dropped off from his stats he was putting in last season. Draxler's not really lived up to the hype, I think it's safe to say. And, you know, players like Krakowiak, who have just been rotting on the bench for him, that he brought in, and I think most clubs in Europe would happily have such a strong CDM, and he just put him in. He's then preferred to use Blaise Matuidi and Verratti, and also Rabiot in that in those positions. So I think Emre will be on his way out.
I'm not sure about it. I think this, like I said earlier, this is the first year in many years that PSG have been one close. I think that perhaps it was maybe just a bit unexpected at the start of the season. Maybe they thought that they were going to run away with Ligue 1 again. I think it would be a bit harsh if he did go. Obviously, you know, PSG, with the amount of money that they've had pumped into that club, they would be expected to be winning cups, at least one cup each year, and, you know, to be really piling on the pressure at the top of Ligue 1. And, you know, I wouldn't say they failed in the Champions League. I mean, we all know what happened between PSG and Barcelona. So I wouldn't say it's been a bad season. It's been a below par season for PSG, but I definitely think it would be harsh if they got rid of someone based on this season, because, you know, as I say, it's been one season. You know, for all we know, next year Monaco could sell all of their players, and they might not be anywhere near the top next season. So I think give him one more year. If they do get put under pressure by maybe even more teams in Ligue 1, then maybe you have to think about a managerial change. Maybe Jardim might go to PSG, which I think would be a very rogue move in terms of the French fans. But, you know, I think Ligue 1 has been tossed up quite a bit so far this season.
Also, Marseille are on the point of coming back as well. They've had a huge amount of investment. So, I mean, again, it's just going to be for the first time in years, the French league is looking interesting.
Yeah, you say Marseille. I mean, they had a pretty poor start to this season, but now that's closed. They're fifth. Not too bad, you know, considering everything else. Back to the Champions League, the final. 3rd of June, Cardiff, Real, Juve. Who do we back?
See, for me, I just purely from the fact that Buffon hasn't won the cup since he's been at Juventus. You know, he's been at Juventus his entire career. He's played over 1,000 games in club and country, and, you know, to have not come away from that time at Juventus with a Champions League winners' medal and having the trophy, I think, for sentimental reasons, that is probably why I backed Juventus. I think as well, you know, a solid defence leads to a good attack. You know, you can have the worst attack in the world, but if you're giving them chances, then they will score. I think they've got a very good asset in Paulo Dybala. They've got Gonzalo Higuain, who's been perhaps a bit subpar in Europe so far. I mean, obviously in Serie A he's looked on good form, but he's still yet to perform at the top level. And I mean, he's going back to his former club, of course, yeah. So it would be fantastic to see him maybe get a couple of goals against Real Madrid, you know, show perhaps maybe some regret from Real Madrid for selling him. I mean, I know it's been a couple of years now, but he's looked very good in Serie A so far. So if I had to put my money on someone, I'd probably say Juventus. But then again, you know, Real Madrid, they do have that quality attack. They can spring a surprise. You know, they can go from having 10% possession to scoring two goals in quick succession and turning the tie on its head. So again, I think it's going to be a close one. I mentioned to you guys before as well, Juventus, when they've won the European competition before, it's been against teams who were defending champions. So Real Madrid going into this final, defending champions, can they do it? I think if they get an early goal, sit back a bit, maybe draw Real Madrid onto them, and then get a quick counter-attack with the amount of pace that they've got up front, and perhaps maybe steal a second and put the game to bed in the late stages. But again, you know, Real Madrid, they always seem to be put into a tough spot and somehow manage to come away with it. This is obviously the repeat of the... well, it's not a repeat of the final because it was Juventus versus Barcelona, but Juventus have been in the final a few years ago against Spanish opposition. So they'll be looking to try and rectify that outcome when they did lose in extra time against Barcelona.
Yeah, I think not only is Higuain going back, Sami Khedira too, he's also returning. I mean, when you think Juve, again with Real, it's that thing of they just seem to win, yeah. Even when they don't play that well.
And I think as well, you know, Dani Alves, ex-Barcelona player, going up against a team who he knows all too well, you can imagine that he's going to be telling Juventus players a bit more inside knowledge. You know, he's obviously come up against them a fair few more times than some of the Juventus players would have. And I think,
yeah, it's going to be definitely a good final. I think both teams obviously not going to go into the final looking to concede first. I think if Juventus get the early goal, then they might sit back, like I say, and absorb a bit of Real Madrid pressure, maybe go into half-time 1-0 up. If Real Madrid get the first goal, I think they're going to go right for the throat, try and take Juventus out, go into the half-time with maybe a 2-0 lead, and then see the game out from there.
Yeah, I mean, I have quite a big admiration. Actually, I do enjoy watching quite a lot of Italian football. So I've seen quite a bit of Juventus play this season. And I am a massive fan of this team in terms of just how they play. The amount of depth they've got, it's not as impressive, I would probably say, potentially as Real Madrid's. But in terms of the starting team, when they're out there and when Juventus play their way, it's very hard for any team to stop them. Real Madrid, I've seen... some stats possibly hinting that they are the potentially they could be the Achilles heel to Juve, because Real Madrid are very good in the air. Now Juve's back three are very solid, but further up the pitch they're a little more weak physically, and Real Madrid are a very powerful team, so they could overpower them in the midfield. Marquisio could get overrun potentially, as could Pjanic, so there's some potential weaknesses there to exploit. I think it could be another attack against defence, but attack against a counter-attacking team. But my big thing which I'm looking at is this could be Dybala's audition for Real Madrid. If he turns up and if he destroys them, because I think Ramos, you know, fantastic player as he is, icon for Real Madrid at the moment, he has a mistake in him. Every game you see it, he's not as defensively sound as he was a couple of years ago. He's more focused now on getting forward and attacking. And I think that's something that a player like Dybala, who's very good at just dropping back a little bit, luring those more aggressive centre-backs forward and then whipping in behind them, is something he could do. Higuain, I think for the story-wise, it would be great if he could score, but it would be the first time in ages that he's actually turned up in a big game, yeah. I think is the thing. He does seem to falter in these big moments, and whether they will... Mandzukic can probably turn up, because Mandzukic has a very nasty history with Real Madrid the four Atletico Madrid games he played against Real. He was only there for one season. He played against them in the Champions League. He got in a heck of a lot of brawls, I remember, especially watching that Champions League match. I remember he left the field with sort of about three cuts on his face and was shouting in Pepe's face, which is brave, I think it's safe to say. But, I mean, playing devil's advocate here, Real Madrid are one of the best attacking units, really, when it comes down to it. They've shown they are quite strong defensively, and they have a good defensive solidity. They have incredible strength on the bench with James and Isco doing quite well. Vasquez less so this year. I think he's dropped off, really. and also, of course, your name escapes me, Asensio. Mm. You know, they've got this really good plethora of midfield talent. Defensively, they're a bit more shaky, I think. And the wings, I think, is something that their defensive wing players are very iffy. But then again, you could argue so is Juventus, because Dani Alves is fantastic going forward, less so when he's having to track back and defend. I think it's going to be... I hope that it's going to be a very interesting and intense match, as opposed to the last two finals that Real Madrid have been in, where it has been absolutely dull until the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So, to answer the question, Juve or Real?
I'm saying Juve. I think I'm going to go 3-1. I think it's going to be the inverse scoreline to what happened last time when they were in. I think Juve will win this 3-1, and I think Buffon will finally get that Champions League that he's been looking for so long.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can all hope that Buffon gets that Champions League. You just got to love the guy. He's great. Rabos, yeah, he's always due an error. He is also always due a 94th minute header.
Yeah, that's all I can see.
You know, he always kind of makes up for that in that way. Again, yeah, I think we talked about the final, 2 years ago, it was 2015 against Barcelona, and Juve perhaps were seen as kind of a bit of the underdogs. They weren't necessarily expected to reach the final, and they were probably fairly shown up a bit. It was quite comfortable for Barcelona. But this year, they seem to be a much stronger side. They deserve to be there. I think it's two very equal teams, very well matched. I mean, it could go either way, but yeah, I'd bet Juve, I just think. Oh, I just gotta love you, mate. Comparatively, the Europa League. Should we start with Ajax Lyon? Because I think with the Europa League, with the final, it's always been Man U, and then it was Man U and Roma were gonna make the final. And then Lyon beat Roma, so it was Man U and Lyon were gonna make the final. And then suddenly Lyon got beat by Ajax, and now it's Ajax there. A young team, a very young team. I think I don't know what the average age is, but
I think it was certainly in the first leg that they when they played against Lyon and won 4-1. I think it was 7 out of starting 11 were aged 21 or under.
Yeah,
which, you know, it goes to show just how much faith they have in the youth system there. You know, Ajax have been known to bring a lot of good young Dutch players, young Scandinavian players through their ranks, and it seems to be working for them. I mean, as I say, you know, going out in the first leg, the home leg, and to win 4-1 against Lyon, who, as you said, Nathan, one of the teams really tipped to go on and go all the way and win the competition. It's just fantastic to see. I mean, Kasper Dolberg, the young Danish international, has got 7 goals in Europe so far this season. He's got 1 international cap already to his name at the age of 19. You know, we talk about Kylian Mbappe, but I think definitely this guy, in terms of, you know, perhaps not at the top level in European football, but certainly getting there, and I think he's going to be on the radar of a lot of high-profile clubs coming up to the summer transfer windows.
I mean, Ajax do have a history of producing some really great strikers. I mean, you think like Ibrahimovic, Suarez came through there as well.
Yeah, well, one of probably the classiest, and also a bit of news that happened whilst we were off air, which I think just sort of sums up how classy Ajax are as a club, is they are, of course, renaming the Amsterdam Arena to the Johan Cruyff Arena's, arguably their greatest ever prodigy they've ever had, and one of their greatest ever managers. So, I mean, yeah, when we look at it, it's sort of a mad conveyor belt with Ajax in terms of just how many top-class players they are able to churn out. The key thing now for them, if they want to get back to the top, is keeping hold of them. They've just sold them on for so many years, and that's really hindered their process. And the final, when it boils down to it, I'm saying this with a slight grin on my face, but I do genuinely mean it in some respect. It is two fallen giants of European football are on the climb back. You know, United were, I'm saying this as a Liverpool fan, and I do mean this genuinely, they were one of the great teams, especially under Ferguson. I think in the mid-2000s, they were fantastic. They fell after he left quite dramatically, and they have been rebuilding. I think they've still got a bit of a way to go, but they're on the climb back. Ajax, similarly, they astonishingly lost their Eredivisie title to a rising PSV and Feyenoord as well, who have come back into the mix, but they now are on the climb back. So it's a sort of, it's kind of quite nice, I think, in a way, to see these two teams that are, you know, looking at it differently. United are obviously the bigger team, they have the huge commercial branding and stuff, but the two teams are climbing back and they're getting back to where they really should be, and that is something very difficult for a Liverpool fan to say.
Yeah, I mean, two teams with undeniably a lot of history, especially in Europe. It's nice to see Ajax back at a European final. I mean, we talk about Cruyff, that seems to still be, it's so kind of core to their beliefs. And you look at kind of the backroom staff at Ajax, you've got Van der Sar as CEO, Overmars as like technical director, Bergkamp, Jaap Stam was doing defensive training there before.
Koeman
he
was
went,
yeah. a technical director as well, yeah.
So, I mean, it just seems like a really nice run.
Yeah, I think one of the players to point out as well who hasn't really featured in the semi-finals so far is Patrick Kluivert, obviously son.
Yeah.
Not Patrick Kluivert, sorry, Justin Kluivert, obviously the son of Patrick Kluivert, now playing at Ajax. You know, he's looking like a very good young prospect as well. He carries that name with him as well. Might maybe add a bit more pressure to him, but I think, you know, you look through that lineup and they essentially are youthful exuberance personified. You know, they go out there, they play every game with no fear. Obviously conceding 3 goals against Lyon in the away leg is not the greatest, but you know, going away from home against Lyon was never going to be an easy task for them. They luckily did get an away goal and progress into the final. But yeah, I think Ajax, they are going to go up against this Man United side with no fear. They probably know that Mourinho is perhaps looking at the Europa League as maybe his now sole option of getting to Champions League football next year. I think the league's a bit too much, or rather the top four places for Man United are perhaps a bit far out of reach now. But yeah, I think, you know, looking at Man United and from their perspective, I think it all depends on how they...
I think we agree. Man United season. If they win the Europa League and they come sick, as you might probably guess is most likely to happen, is that a good season?
Champions League will be probably the thing that which they'll take as a positive. From an English football perspective, that's quite promising, because we would then potentially have 5 teams in Europe. I think they will have to play a qualifier. I'm not sure, though. I have a feeling they might have to do one qualifying game before.
I think just the fourth place.
Is it just all?
I think the
just
Europa
fourth
League
place. Right. Okay. Way. So again, well, depending on if whoever comes in fourth is able to win their qualifying match, which usually they are, we could then have 5 English teams in the Europa League, which is very promising and very good. I don't think English football's back to the point it could be to really challenge for these titles. Overall, though, with United viewed as a good season, not, I view it as kind of a so-so one, but the amount of money they've spent, the players they brought in, Zlatan, Pogba, you know, especially Mkhitaryan, of course, and Bailly.
I think, you know, point out Mkhitaryan. Mkhitaryan has been perhaps the only player for me who I think has paid back the amount of money that they spent on him. You know, he's been fantastic in Europa League. He, in my opinion, not single-handedly, but he's been one of the key factors in them getting to this final. You know, the goals that he scored in Europe so far for them this season have been vital in winning them the fixtures that they've played. I think, yeah, going back to Jeremy's point, I wouldn't say it's a... I think if you look at it compared to the last couple of seasons, again, going back to this whole thing, since Ferguson left, I'd say it's been a successful season for them. They won the, League Cup into the Europa League final. If they lose it, I'd probably say it's been a subpar season. I don't think it's been a bad season. You know, they are, like I said, again, they're a team in transition. They need some stability there. Give Mourinho another 2 seasons, perhaps they might get back to their best. But when you look at it comparatively with what we know United can do, obviously it has been a bit of a failure for them so far. But having said that, I think the media will play a massive role if Mourinho does go on and win the Europa League final, get Man United back into the Champions League. You know, then for me and from the media, we'll probably say that it's been a fantastic season for them. I think that if they lose that, then they go out on a low and they don't really have anything to, you know, look forward to next season. They're going to be playing in Europa League again. No one really wants to be playing on Thursday nights, especially when, you know, in the Premier League, especially you've got a Thursday night game and then you've got a Saturday or Sunday game. It doesn't really give you that much time to rest. So certainly they'll be looking to get into the Champions League. But again, I think this question really revolves around whether or not they win this final. If they do, then I think it has been a relatively good season for them.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think the biggest gripe perhaps for Mourinho or against Mourinho would be that of the top 6 teams, with these top 6 managers in terms of, you know, the London clubs, the Manchester clubs and Liverpool, will it not dig at him a bit that he's come last out of that group?
Oh, definitely. I think, what is it, you know, you look at, especially
the away games that United have played against those other five out of the top six, he hasn't been able to score away from home.
In the last 2 years.
In the last 2 years for them. So, again, you know, I think that's something he definitely needs to address. They do have, like you say,